In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of my favorite quotes is from Mark Twain, who famously said, "I've had a lot of worries in my life, most of which never happened." He also touched on worry in another quote when he said, "It ain't those parts of the Bible that I can't understand that bother me. It's the parts that I can understand." Now, Mark Twain had a lot to say about the Bible and about religion in general, much of which we may choose to disagree with. But we would probably not disagree that today's reading from the Gospel of Mark, at least at first glance, should worry us. In 8 short verses, we have Jesus foretelling, seemingly out of the blue, of his suffering, rejection, and death. We have his rebuke of Peter, calling Peter Satan, and his call to the people who wish to follow him, that's us, to deny themselves, to take up their cross, and to lose their lives. And to Mark Twain's point, this isn't something that we can't or don't understand. It's very plain, very clear. There's no complicated parable to unravel here. There's no ambiguity in the translation. No point where your preacher can say, "Well, there's this word in Greek that could be translated a different way, so, you know, we're okay." There's nothing to misunderstand. We are called, if we want to become a follower of Jesus, to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and lose our lives. So perhaps this is something we should be worrying about. It's also jarring, standing in stark contrast to what else we hear and think about Jesus, that gentle Jesus, meek and mild, as Charles Wesley had it. It stands in contrast to the so-called comfortable words that we hear in Matthew 11 that our regular complaint attendees will be familiar with. "Come to me, all who rest, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly at heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So which is it? An easy yoke and a light burden, or self-denial and taking up the cross and losing one's life? One sounds great, so comforting, and the other sounds worrying, if not downright frightening. So which is it, or how do we reconcile the two? Many years ago, I think it was back in the 1980s, the Guardian newspaper in the UK ran an award-winning commercial on television. This commercial was designed to make the viewer think about their prejudices and how their perceptions can change if you see things from different points of view. To my mind, it did a great job of doing this. The slot was just 30 seconds long and shown in a somewhat grainy black and white, as if the viewer was watching the events unfold through security cameras in the streets. We see the scene unfold in 3 short acts, each a few seconds long and each from a different camera angle. In the first shot, we see a young man walking down a street. His clothing and demeanor signal to us, perhaps through our prejudices, that he's a bit of a thug or a minor hoodlum. We see a car pull up near him, the driver looking at him and the young man breaks out into a sprint. It seems he's in some kind of trouble, perhaps with the police or a rival gang member. We cut to the second shot at a second viewpoint. Well, perhaps the driver isn't relevant at all. Perhaps this car driver is an innocent bystander, one who is about to witness a mugging. As now we see the young man running towards a well-dressed, affluent-looking older gentleman carrying an expensive briefcase. Well, this looks like we are viewing the CCTV footage that's going to end up getting this guy in jail. But then we see the third and final shot, a slightly wider angle looking down on the street. And again, we see the young man run up to the older gentleman and tackle him, and just in time, wrestle him away from a pile of bricks falling from a collapsing scaffolding. Our thug, our petty criminal, turns out to be the hero. He's actually doing the right thing. And we, presumably by subscribing to the Guardian newspaper, should definitely check our prejudices and try and see things from different angles. It's a great commercial. I don't know if it sold many newspapers, but I'm sure it made existing subscribers feel a little smug about themselves. Now, I think we can look at this gospel in the same way, through these different lenses. To start, maybe we'll have a little background. So let's use that well-known TV trope, the recap. Previously on the Gospel of Mark. And we'll see scenes that remind us that in prior chapters and verses, Jesus has been healing and preaching and gathering crowds, and yet the disciples haven't got it. Until Peter, at the end of last week's episode, finally has an epiphany. Jesus is not just another teacher and another healer. Jesus is the Messiah. What an amazing, joyous news. But that joy does not last long. Cut to today's opening scene. Jesus begins to teach that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed. And I doubt Peter got to the point, being ever so impetuous, of even hearing the bit about rising again before Peter starts to rebuke Jesus. And Jesus' reaction is startling, calling Peter Satan in front of the other disciples. So from this, yes, we get the message. These events will come to pass, and we, with our hindsight, know that they do. We've already binge-watched this scene many times over the years, and we're aware of what's ahead. We'll relive that in Holy Week. And with that set up, with that in the back of our minds, we move to scene two. Our lens tinted and our prejudices set by what's just happened. Jesus says, if any of you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life will save it. For the sake of the gospel, will save it. Well, saving is good, but either way, we have to go and lose our life in some way. And we've just been talking about real death. It's not, as they say, a good look. And again, having just been reminded of the crucifixion, of Good Friday images of Jesus struggling to carry his cross on the road to Golgotha. This take up your cross business doesn't sound too enticing. But finally, scene three. What's really going on? Well, let's get some different camera angle. Let's actually go to Luke's version of events for a moment. The Gospel of Luke covers the same scene, but it has an additional word, a word that changes everything. And that word is daily. Luke reports that Jesus is saying, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily. Daily. Every day. Wake up in the morning and take up your cross. This isn't about a one-way trip to Calvary. This is about daily practice and living the life of a disciple. This is about taking up our cross each morning, holding it high. Imagine our procession on a non-pandemic Palm Sunday. And figuratively keeping that cross held high in front of us as we go throughout our day, reminding ourselves of who we seek to be, followers of Jesus, day by day, hour by hour, and minute by minute. So this is not an invitation to death, an invitation to suffering. It's an invitation to die to ourselves, to set aside our own concerns and simply do the work of a follower of Jesus. Again, daily practice, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. Daily living for the sake of Jesus and the Gospels. And of course, this is what Lent is all about. Lent shouldn't be about denial for its own sake. Especially, it should not be about broadcasting your resultant suffering for all to hear, as we are warned not to do on Ash Wednesday. Lent should be about awareness, a deliberate daily practice of taking up your cross in the morning and mindfully trying to keep that cross in our sight all day long, letting our own concerns about human things fade away and keeping our focus on divine things. So this Lent, let us all try to do this. It's hard. Undoubtedly, our minds will wander back to focusing on the earthly. But when we catch ourselves, let's take a breath. Pick up our cross and once more try and carry on with renewed focus and intent. So I'm sorry, Mr. Twain, this is one passage in the Bible that we can understand and not worry about. In fact, it's very much the opposite. Amen.